Yeah, good tovach, everybody, and thank you for coming to learn together this evening. Today's daf is Psachim Daf Tzadi Aleph. We left off on Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, about five lines before the lines get really wide at the two dots. Vahazava Shochtin. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Arnav's wife and children. Sponsored anonymously for Shlema, for Daniel Yagain Ben Karen Eliza. It's also sponsored by Seymour Gertz in memory of his mother, Margalit Bas Rav Shilam HaShalom, whose yard site is Zayin Adar. It's also sponsored by David Friedman, Lili Nishtas' mother, Deborah Greenfield Friedman, Devora Bas Yoshua Heschel, and Rachel Aleha HaShalom, whose yard site is today. And it's also sponsored by Michael Hacha, Kaiser Lili Nishmas, Yaakov Hirsch Ben Moshe, Alav Hashalom, whose yard site is today. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we are going to do is first finish up the piece before the Mishnah from yesterday's daf, where we were discussing whether you can check the Karban Pesach for someone who's in the middle of their Tahara process, meaning you have a Zav or a Zava or a Nida on the seventh day of the Tahara process, on the eighth day of the Tahara process. At what point can you check the Karban Pesach, relying on the fact that by that night they would be able to eat the Karban Pesach? Then the Mishnah on the very bottom of the page that goes over Talmud Aleph is going to flip the script a little bit. We've been discussing shechting the Karban Pesach for someone who right now is not eligible. Right now they're Tamei Sheretz, they're Anida, they're Zav, they're Zava. But we're hopeful that by the time it comes to Achilas Karban Pesach, they will be eligible. So the Mishnah, the next Mishnah is going to flip it. What if you have a person who right now is eligible, but we're concerned that by the time it comes to eat the Karban Pesach, they'll no longer be eligible. They will become Tamei. They will become unable to eat the Karban Pesach. Then the next Mishnah after that is going to talk about whether a Karban Pesach can be registered to a single individual, or does it always have to be a group? And what if you have a group that's made up exclusively of Nashim, Avadim, Uketanim? The Gemara is going to elaborate on a Braisa that has three different opinions as far as the Chiyuv of women in Pesach Rishon as well as Pesach Sheni. It's a three-way Machlokas Tanayim, and the Gemara is going to try to show where each Shita gets their opinion from based on the Pesukim. Then the Gemara is going to briefly discuss what if you have a group that's made up exclusively of Gerim? Is that a problem when it comes to Karban Pesach? And then at the very end, or just before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to compare the obligations of men and women in the mitzvos of Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. So let's begin again, five lines before the lines get really wide, on Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, Vazava Shochtin. So the Mishnah had mentioned that you can shecht the Karban Pesach for a Zava if the eighth day of the process is Erev Pesach. So Tani Tana Kamei Rav Ad Bar Ava, Vazava Shochtin Allah, B'Shvi Shalah. There was one version where Braisa said that you can shecht for a Zava Gedola when her seventh day of Shiva Nikiyim is Erev Pesach, which means we know a Zava Gedola has to count seven clean days. She can go to the mikvah on the seventh day, and she has to bring a karban on the eighth day. She's not allowed to eat kachim until she brings her karban. So this version of Tanaim says that you're allowed to shecht the Karban Pesach when Erev Pesach is the seventh day of her Shiva Nikiyim. You can shecht the Karban Pesach for her. So Amar Leh, so he said back, Zava Bishvi Shalom Michazia. Wait a second, if it's the seventh day of her Shiva Nikiyim, she's not going to be ra'ui to eat the Karban Pesach that night, because afilim on yom shochet v'zorkin al tamei sheretz, even if you hold you could do shechita for someone who's tamei sheretz, haini mili tamei sheretz d'chazi l'urta, that's because a person who's tamei sheretz goes to the mikvah and then he's done. By that night he's going to be allowed to eat kachim again. But ha, but azava gedola ad l'machar d'masya kapara lo chazia, until the next day when she brings the kapara, when she brings her karbanos for being azava, she's not going to be ra'ui to eat kachim. And the Karban Pesach has been tonight, so how can you shech for a Zav Gedola on the seventh day of her Shiva Nikiyim? She's definitely not going to be allowed to eat it, because she's only allowed to eat kachim the next day when she brings karbanos. So it says, where you're right, Ema Bishmini. What it should say is that we shecht for a Zav Gedola when Erev Pesach is the eighth day of her process, meaning she had her Shiva Nikiyim, she went to the mikvah on the seventh day, and now it's the eighth day when she could bring her karban, and as soon as she brings her karban, she's allowed to eat kachim. So now I'm allowed to shecht the Karban Pesach for her, knowing that by tonight, of course, she's going to be allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. Seima Bishmini, says Mar Pshita, but if it's on the eighth day, of course you could shech for a Zava Gedola. Why wouldn't you be able to shech for her on the eighth day? Of course by tonight she'll be allowed to eat a Karban Pesach. Says Mar Mar Detema, Kivin de Mechasra Kapara, Lo, Kamash Mlan, Kidra Shmaya. Now I might have thought that since she doesn't automatically have the right to eat Karbanos, she's only going to have the right to eat Karbanos if she remembers to bring her Karbanos on the eighth day. So I would have thought that we can't shech the Karban Pesach for her on the eighth eighth day on the assumption that she'll bring her karbanos. Maybe she won't bring her karbanos and she won't have a heter to eat kachim. So kamash milan, like we learned from Rav Shmaya yesterday, that Rav Shmaya says that it's not really up to her to bring it. She put the money in the shofaros in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim then take care of that. And the Kohanim bring all the karbanos. And we can trust the Beis HaShel Kohanim, they will absolutely bring her karbanos. And therefore, a Zava Gadola on the eighth day, you can rest assured that her karbanos will be brought and she'll be ready to eat the Karban Pesach that evening. Ravina Amar Nida Tanakamei Vanida Shochtan Ala Bishvi. That the case was not a Zava that you shacht for on the seventh day, but a Nida. A Nida is very different than a Zava. The halacha is, on a Daraisa level, a woman who's a Nida is Tamei for a total of 7 days, and there's no Chiyuv Karban for a Nida. The Chiyuv Karban is only for a Zava Gedola. Nowadays, we treat all women who become Tamei like they are a Zava Gedola, where we require Shivan Akiyah. Anita doesn't even need Shiva Nikiyim. Anita needs 7 days total, meaning if a woman starts bleeding on Sunday, even though she bleeds Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, even Friday and Shabbos, by Motzai Shabbos, she can go to the mikveh. As long as she stopped bleeding by then, she can go to the mikveh and she will be Tahora. And there's no requirement for any further karban. So Anita, we're saying, you could check for on the seventh day of her Nida process. Amalei Nida b'shvi'i michazya? But wait a second, on the seventh day, is she going to be able to eat the Karban Pesach that night? Wait a second. If you have someone who's Tamei Sheretz, Tamei Sheretz can go to the mikveh today, and by tonight they have Harav Shemesh, and they're allowed to eat kachim. But a Nida is not allowed to go to the mikveh until nightfall. Unlike a Zava who goes to the mikveh during the day, a Nida can only go to the mikveh after it's already night. Well, wait a second. After you go to the mikveh, you then need Harav Shemesh to allow you to partake of kachim. So if it's a Nida on the seventh day, if Erev Pesach is the seventh day of being a Nida, what are we going to do? We're going to shech the Karban Pesach for her. That night, the first night of Pesach, she'll go to the mikveh, fine, but she still can't eat kachim. She's going to have to wait till Harav Shemesh of the next day, because you need the sun to set after having gotten to the mikveh, because halach is that a nida only goes to the mikveh at night. In that sense, even though we treat all women who become tamei nowadays, we treat them like a zava gedola, in this sense we treat it like a nida. Our mikvaos are generally only open at night, but that's really a chumrah, because we really assume the status of zava gedola, and zava gedola can go to the mikveh really during the day. It's just that we're machmir to only open the mikveh at night, because while a zava gedola can go to the mikveh on the seventh day, the halach is if she goes to the mikveh and then she bleeds again later that day on the seventh day, she's tamei even the mafreya. So you could imagine the disaster that would ensue. A woman goes to the mikveh at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the 7th day of her Shiva Nikiyim. 2 o'clock in the afternoon she's with her husband. 3 o'clock in the afternoon she bleeds again. It turns out she violated Nisr Kares. That's a risky game to play. So therefore, we only open the mikvaos at night. Not only that, we add an extra chumrah, that even if she wants to go to the mikveh the next day, on day 8, where she's for sure no longer at risk of becoming Tamei Lemafreya, but because it's too confusing, daytime, to go to the mikveh during the daytime, people will confuse the 8th day for the 7th day, Mishum Srach Bita, the Shulchan Aruch says, that her daughter will remember that mommy went to the mikveh during the daytime, so we don't open the mikvahs during the daytime unless there are very pressing circumstances. Now only then would we open the mikveh during the daytime. There are such pressing circumstances, but not so common. But anyway, the halach is a nida on a daraisa level. A nida only goes to the mikveh at night. So what are you going to do? How could you shecht Karban Pesach for a nida on the 7th day? She can't go to the mikveh till it's already that night, and then she's not going to be able to eat kachim until the following night. She could be with her husband that night, but she's not allowed to eat kachim until the following night, till she has a Harav Shemesh. So no, what we must be saying is that Anita goes to the mikveh, that we're allowed to shecht for Anita on the 8th day of her Anita process, if the 8th day is Erev Pesach. Well, pshita, of course you could shecht for Anita then. If even a Zava on the 8th day, where she still needs to bring karbanos to allow her to eat kachim, you're allowed to shecht the Karban Pesach for, then for sure Anita, who has no chiv to bring karbanos on the 8th day, of course you're allowed to shecht the Karban Pesach for her. Of course you could shecht for her. So says Gemara, no, no, the chiddush of Nida is Nida is Srichle, Haka Mashman, Bishmini in Bishvi Lo. You're right. There's no chiddush in telling me that you could shecht the Karban Pesach for a Nida when her eighth day is Erev Pesach. The chiddush is that you're not allowed to shecht for her when her seventh day is Erev Pesach. Kidetanya, Kol Chayavei Tfilos Tfilosan Beyom, because the Braisa tells us, you know, since typically you're allowed to go to the mikveh during the day for all other types of tumah, so one might have thought that the same is true by Nida, but Nida v'yoledes tvilasan belayla. The halach is that there are two exceptions, and Nida and the yoledes can only go to the mikveh at night. Titania yachalte tovelus mi bodom, you might have thought that a Nida can go to the mikveh during the daytime. Tamalomar shivas yamim tihiye benidasa, and we darshin tehe benidasa kol shiva, she must remain betumas Nida for all 7 days, and she only gets to go to the mikveh after those 7 days are over. So that's how I know that Nida is an exception. V'yoledes is kishlenida, and there's a link between Yoledes and Nida, and therefore Yoledes also, a woman who recently gave birth, also only goes to the mikveh at nighttime. So that's the very chiddush. The chiddush is not that you can shecht when her eighth day, when the Nida's eighth day is Erev Pesach. That's obvious. She's already done. She's done everything she had to do. She went to the mikveh the previous night. She's allowed to eat kachim by that night. It's going to be after Erev Shemesh. Of course you can shecht for her. The chiddush is that you cannot shecht for Anida when her seventh day is Erev Pesach, because she's not allowed to go to the mikveh on the seventh day. She can only go to the mikveh after nightfall. Okay, that finishes off yesterday's daf. So let's begin now the new Mishnah. As we mentioned before, this Mishnah is going to turn things on its head a little bit. Up until now, we've been talking about people who you're shechting for, even though right now they're not ra'oi to eat Karban Pesach, but if you wait just a bit, they'll become ra'oi to eat Karban Pesach, hopefully by the time it comes for Achilas Karban Pesach. This Mishnah flips it. We're talking about people who you want to shecht for, who right now it looks good. Right now they're ra'oi for Karban Pesach. But we're nervous that that by the time it comes to actually eating the Karban Pesach, they may no longer be ra'oi to eat the Karban Pesach. So example number one, ha'onein. If a person is an onein, someone whose relative died, so the halacha is that on a daraisa level, an onein is not allowed to eat kachim. There are very few halachas of an onein on a daraisa level. In fact, usually when we use the term onein, it's not the way the Mishnayos refer to onein. The Mishnayos, when they talk about an onein, they're talking about the way the Torah refers to onein, which is someone who on the day that their relative died, before burial, after burial, on the day that their relative died, they're not allowed to eat kachim, maaser sheni. There's very few restrictions on an onein. When we generally talk about an onein not doing mitzvos and things like that, that's what the Mishnah refers to as misha meso muta lefanav. That's a different din. That's a din according to most Rishonim of osik b'mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. If a person has a dead relative that they have to bury, that's called misha meso muta lefanav. So that's a din that you're pater from mitzvos. But an onein is not allowed to eat kachim. The thing is, aninus is only for that day. By the time the night comes, he's not going to be an onein anymore. So he'll be able to eat kachim. So what am I worried about? Because he's an onein, he's also going to likely be involved in the burial of his relative. And therefore, he's likely, even though he's not yet tamei, he's likely to become tamei lemeis. So what am I going to do? I'm going to shecht the Karban Pesach for a guy who's an onein right now, knowing that he's not going to be an onein anymore by Pesach night. Yeah, he may not be an onein anymore, but he's a high risk of being tamei by Pesach night. So if you have an onein, or second example, v'mefakeach esagal, you have a rescue worker, there's a building that caved in, and they're looking for survivors, so they're pulling away the rubble, and the person is pulling away the stones and the rubble from the collapsed building. So we don't know that he's tameh, he may be tar, there may be no dead bodies under there, but it's a high risk that by that night it will have turned out that he will have become tameh, looking for survivors and finding people who have died, and therefore he's a high risk category. V'chein mishif tichu lo tiyum besasurin, or if someone is currently in jail, if someone is currently incarcerated, but the jailers say that they're going to let him out for Yontif, that they're going to let him out in time for Yontif. So there's a high risk that maybe they won't, that even though it looks good, it looks like he'll be able to eat Karban Pesach, but maybe he won't, so there's a risk. Or, v'achol v'azaken, she'nichon lechol kezayis, or a chol and a zaken
a sick person or an elderly person who right now is strong enough to eat a kazayis, but their condition can change very quickly, and maybe by the time the Seder comes, they're no longer going to be able to eat a kazayis, especially eating late at night for a person who's an older person, not always so easy. So I don't know that they're going to be able to eat a kazayis tonight. So the halacha in all of these cases, shochtin alehen, you're allowed to shecht the Karban Pesach for them, because as it stands now, by nighttime they should be okay unless something changes. Unless they become tamei, unless they become sicker, unless the jailer does not let them out of jail, but al kulam in shochtan alim fnei atzman. But even though you're allowed to include them in a karm pesach, you shecht the karm pesach for them, but it can't. The karm pesach cannot be exclusively for them. You have to join them together with other people on the karm pesach, because where you have to be concerned, shami yaviu es pesach lidei psul, that if it turns out that our fears are realized, the guy is not let out of jail, the onen had become tamei, the Fakeh Hagal had become Tamei, so then what? What are you going to do with the Karban Pesach, where all the registrants on the Karban Pesach are now Tamei? It will turn out that you pass the whole Karban Pesach. Whereas, if you have other people together with him on the group of the Karban Pesach, so even if he becomes Tamei, so the other guys will be able to eat, the other men and women will be able to eat, and children will be able to eat the Karban Pesach, so it will still get eaten. You don't have to worry about being Mevi Lidei Psul. Lefichach, Emir Ben Psul, Peturim, Milasos Pesach Sheni, but because you're allowed to shech the Karban Pesach for these people, if it turns out that they become possible and they're unable to eat it, they don't have to do a Pesach Sheni, because at the time that you shechted the Karban Pesach for them, they were good, they were okay, they were not yet Tamei. Chutz min ha-mefakech begal shu tamid chlaso, except for the rescue worker. In the case of the rescue worker, you have to assume he was already Tamei by the time you shechted it, he just didn't know about it yet. Meaning, if he finds a dead body under the pile, you have to assume that that body was there the whole time, and therefore he had already become Tamei. So when you shechted it for him, you were shechted a Karban Pesach for somebody who is already Tameh. But in all the other cases where the problem only arises afterwards, then you don't have to be so concerned. This is an interesting, Tosos raises an interesting question over here. He says, Shayatame mitchilaso, because he was Tameh to begin with. Says Tosos on the top, Temelari, Mefacheach agal nami neima chai avakashishchil lefacheach. No, even when the guy is a rescue worker and he's clearing off the rubble, who's to say that the person that he found Nebuch dead under the pile was dead the whole time? Maybe the person survived the initial collapse of the building and he suffocated over time. You didn't get to him quickly enough, or that when you moved the rubble, something moved and he died as a result of that. Maybe at the time that you shechted the Karban Pesach, this guy was not yet Tamei because the person that he found was not yet dead. So says Tosos here, Shlomer Dikim de Matzo Meis, Isla Nemer Shem Tchilaso Haya Meis, Shekala Tumas Kshas Metziyasan. No, if you found him dead, then we have a Chazok at the Hashta, meaning even though you generally have a Chazok at the Meikara, that a person used to be alive, say, a chazaka that he continues to be alive, you have a chazaka d'hashta. Right now, there's a meis lefanecha, you see there's a dead person right there, so there's a chazaka that he was dead the whole time. This is a very important line of Tosfos that's quoted by the poskim on Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya. The halacha is, there's a Chuvas Mari Mintz, where the Mari Mintz was asked about a case where a person had a relative who died, and they didn't know exactly when the relative had died. So who cares when? Why does it matter when? Okay, observing yard site, matters a little bit, but there's a more pressing issue, and that is he's not sure whether the relative had died within 30 days of when he found out, or the relative had died longer than 30 days ago. So there's something in halacha called a shmur rechoka. If you only find out, lo aleinu, a person only finds out about the death of a relative more than 30 days after the relative died, then you only observe yom echad of avelus, but not only yom echad, miktsas yom kekulo, so you observe 5 minutes of avelus. There's no real avelus for a shmur rechoka. As opposed to, if a person finds out within 30 days of the death of the relative, then you have to observe all of Shiva. So Mari Mintz was asked, what if a person found out their relative died and they don't know when? They don't know if it was within 30 days or not within 30 days. Do they have to observe Avelus or not? So the Mari Mintz says we have to be Machmir because of a Chazaka. Chazaka, the person was alive, so you assume they were alive up until the last moment, that until the very moment that you found them dead. And therefore, you assume that it's a Shmur Krova, not a Shmur Rechoka. Mari Mintz brings a Raya from a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara tells us that if a person brings a get from a husband who's a Zakein or a Chola, then you have the right to assume that he's still alive upon delivery of the get, even though later on he dies from that illness. Nevertheless, he was alive when you left him, you have a right to assume that he's still alive. So says Mari Mintz, same over here. The person was alive, now he's dead. You have the right to assume that he was alive for as long as he could have possibly been alive. However, the Taz in Yerodei Simin Shin Lamed Zayin says, according to our Tosfos, that Mari Mintz is not correct. Why? Because our Tosfos talks about a case where our Tosfos raises the question, why is it when you find a dead body and it turned out that you had become Tameh, do you make Pesach Sheni? Why aren't we Choshesh that maybe at the time that they shechted the Karban Pesach for you, the guy was still alive, you were not yet Tameh, and therefore you were Yotze with Pesach Rishon, so you should not make Pesach Sheni. And what did Tosfos answer? Kol hatumos kishas mitziasam. That if you found the body now, you assume that the person has been dead the entire time. And the cheskas chayim doesn't help. The chazaka demeikar that he was alive once does not help. Right now, he's dead. We follow the chazaka of right now. And therefore, even in the case of the Mari Mintz, the Mari Mintz was asked about someone who had a dead relative, where meso muta lefanav. The person was dead. He knows the person is dead right now. So that chazaka should carry the day, that the person is dead now, and therefore has been dead for as long as further back, and therefore you assume it's a shmur rechoka. So the Taz disagrees with Mari Mintz. Now the Yehuda in the Chuvan Madura Kama Evan Ezra Sim Lamed Aleph says that he could defend the Mari Mintz. He says, what's the case in our Gemara? Mifakech hasagal. There was a building that collapsed. So he says, you know why we follow the Chazaka Dahashta that he's dead now, and therefore we assume he's been dead the whole time? Because there's a major reyasa on his Chazaka Meikar. His cheskas chayim, that, oh, he was once alive, so assume he lived till the very last moment. When the building collapsed, when a building caved in on him, that's a major reyusah on his cheskas chayim. I don't know what the statistics are, but I would bet that when a building collapses, most of those who die within the first second of just the force of a building collapsing on them. Yes, there may be people stuck between the rubble that found an air pocket that only suffocate later or starve or whatever. However, again, Rachman al-Tzlan, whoever they may die, but most people die right at that moment. So there's a major reyusa in that case. You can't tell me, says the Nodeb Yehuda, that in a case where someone died of natural causes and I just don't know when he died, that the fact that he's dead now means he's been dead the whole time. No, then the cheskas chayim actually means something. The fact that he was bechazaka, that he was alive, that actually means something in such a case. So that's how the Nodeb Yehuda defends it. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, we had said in the Mishnah that if someone was in jail and the jailers said that they're going to let him out for Pesach, so you can shech the Karban Pesach for him, but only if you include other people in the group as well. So says the whole Mishnah is talking about if it's Ovdei Kochavim who are running the jail. Avol Beis Hasurin de Yisrael, if there are Jews who are running the jail, shochtin b'fnei atzmo. You can even shech the Karban Pesach for only him. You don't need to include other people in his group. We have absolute 100% confidence that they're going to let him out of jail. Why? Because if a Jew promises that they're going to let the guy out of jail, they will let him out of jail. Halavai, this should always be true, that the Pasuk tells us in Tzvanya that Klal Yisrael always speaks the truth. We don't lie, and if a Jewish person tells you they're going to let him out of jail, then they will in fact let him out of jail. So that we can, with full confidence, we can check the Karban Pesach for him. Even our hesitation when he's in a base Hasurin that's run by Ovdei Kochavim, that's only if the jail is located beyond the area where you're allowed to eat Karban Pesach. But if the jail is located in an area where you're allowed, in Yerushalayim, where you're allowed to eat Karban Pesach, then even if it's Ovdei Kochavim that are his jailers, you could shecht for him without any other people registering as Karban Pesach. Because it could be that even if he doesn't get let out of jail, you'll be able to deliver the Karban Pesach meat to him. He'll still be allowed to eat it because he's in a location where he's allowed to eat it. Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi that sort of flips this halacha in the opposite direction. Our Gemara's emphasis is on the truth-telling of the Jewish people, that we have absolute confidence in that the Jewish people are going to tell the truth, and if they say they're going to let him out of jail, then they absolutely will let him out of jail, and therefore you can register him alone on a Karban Pesach. Yerushalmi emphasizes the lying of Ovdei Kochavim, that's really the key over here. The Tosfos points out Yerushalmi Mukla Rabbi Yosef Rabun b'shem Rabbi Yochanan kishachavshu Yisrael, that our Mishnah that distinguishes between registering him himself, which you can't do, and registering with other people, which you can do, that's only if there are Jewish jailers. Aval chavshu akum ein shochnu avafilu mamacherim. But if it's Ovdei Kochavim that are keeping him in jail, then you're not allowed to register him at all, because because Asher Piem Diber Shav, we assume that they're always lying. So even though they said they're going to let him out before Pesach, they will not let him out before Pesach. Their word means zero, and therefore you should not shech the Karban Pesach for him at all. So that's a question, obviously, in Rishonim and Achronim. To what extent do we always assume everything that everybody says, that everyone who's not Jewish that says is a lie? To what extent do we take into account the realities on the ground? You know, sometimes we know that it's an honest government. It's that we know who we're dealing with. So that's an interesting discussion itself in the Achronim. Another interesting discussion is a Jewish jailer. I mean, look through all of Torah. When do we ever put a person in jail? You know, the punishments we have in the Torah. We give Malkus. We give Mises Beisdin. There's Chiv Karis Min Hashemayim. When do we ever put a person in jail? That's not a Jewish punishment. So Rashi over here says, I'll give you some examples. Rashi says, Kagon lechofa lahotzi isha psula, o leshalei mamon. When do we put a person in jail? Not as a punishment. It's as a way of encouraging him to do that which he needs to do. A person is in violation of an avera. He's married to a woman he's not allowed to be married to. A kohen, he's married to a grusha, whatever. Yisrael is married to a mamzer, whatever it is, whatever the relationship that's not permissible that he's involved in is. So we put him in jail until he agrees to divorce her. So that's where we use the jail. Or person owes money and he refuses to pay the money. So we put him in jail until he pays the money. So jail is not used as an onesh, but it's used as an encouragement to get him to do the right thing. That's the way we sort of force his hand in order to be able to do the right thing. And he gives another example where a person attacks another person and the victim is in the hospital and we don't know what's going to be with the victim. Is he going to die? Is he going to live? So what? You're going to have the attacker just walking the streets and we don't know what to charge him with until we see if the fellow that he attacked dies. So then it will be murder, and if the fellow that he attacked recovers, then it's only going to be a Dine Mamanis case. So we put him in jail while we see what happens to his victim. So those are the cases where you're going to put a person in jail. That's what Rashi says. There's actually an interesting Chuvas HaRashba, where the Rashba says you would never put a person in jail over money. If a guy owes money, you don't put a person in jail. And other Rishonim also, the Chuvas HaRivash, like that also, you can't put a person in jail over money. So the Achronim explain it's not against this Rashi. It depends what it means, what the details of the case are. If a guy has no money and therefore he can't pay, we're not going to put him in jail or make him incarcerate him because he can't pay up. Because the purpose of jailing a person, according to Rashi, is to encourage him to do the right thing. If he has money and he refuses to pay it, yeah, that's where you put him in jail. If he refuses to pay the money, because then he'll be encouraged to hopefully pay the money. Okay, back in the Gemara, second to last skinny line, Lefichachim Ira. So we said that if something happens to one of these people where they're not able to eat the Karban Pesach that night, they don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. But then we said that except for the case of the guy who was the rescue worker, he will have to bring a Pesach Sheni because we assume he was Tameh the whole time. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's only if the pile that he was trying to clear away was a round pile, because then you assume that if there was a dead body under there, he had already, by starting from the top of the round pile, he had already hovered over the mace. Aval gal aruch, but a long pile, pat milasas Pesach Sheni. He's pat from doing Pesach Sheni because it could be that at the time that Yeshachted the Pesach Rishon, he had not yet hovered in the area over where the mace is. A matar ha'yibashashchita, we have the right to assume that he might have been tar at the time that Yeshachted Pesach Rishon. Tanya namiyachir, b'shem b'noshar b'yachim ben broka omer, m'fakeach begal, itim patr, itim chayiv. If a guy is a rescue worker, sometimes he's going to be pat from Pesach Sheni, sometimes we chayiv. Ketzad gal ogel v'nimtes tomatachtov chayiv. If it was a gal ogel, which I don't really fully get the metzius, but the case of a gal ogel, for some reason it's impossible for him to have started clearing away until he hovered over the entirety of the gal. So if there's a dead body under there, he for sure hovered over that dead body and is already tame. But gal aruch v'nimtes tomatachtov pater. But if it's a longer gal and then you find tuma under it, then he's going to be pater because ematarai b'shashchita. Could be that he had not yet hovered over the dead body at the time of the Shechita, and therefore he's covered with the Pesach Rishon. So now, says the Mishnah, Ein shochtin as Pesach ala yoch div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot shech the Karban Pesach for a single individual, meaning Karban Pesach is done in groups. I mean, we probably in previous years when people would learn this Mishnah, they would say, who would ever have such a thing? They're having a Seder all by themselves? Who would ever have a Seder all by themselves? Rachman al-Tzlan, last Pesach, so many Jews had a Seder all by so many almanos had a seder all by themselves, that they couldn't be together with anybody for the seder. So can you shech the Karban Pesach for a yachid? The person's going to eat their own Karban Pesach. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, can't have a Karban Pesach for a yachid. Rabbi Yossi matir, and Rabbi Yossi says, yes, you can. Vafil chabura shel mea shein yuchol nechol kazayis ain't shochna lein. And you know what? Even if you have 100 people, if none of them can eat a kazayis, you cannot shech the Karban Pesach for such a group. And you cannot make a group of Nashim Avadim Ketanim. We'll have to explain in the Gemara what that means. Does that mean only a combination of Nashim Avadim Ketanim, or even just a group exclusively of Nashim, exclusively of Avadim, exclusively of Ketanim? We'll see that in the Gemara. So says Gemara, now, Tan Rabbanim, Minayin Shein Shachnas Pesach Al Yachid, where do we find this din that you're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach for one person? Tamalomer L'sucha L'zbach Has a Pesach Be'echad. Pasuk says, L'sucha L'zbach Has a Pesach Be'echad. You can't shech the Karban Pesach for Echad. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Sounds great, right? Until you look up the pasuk in Chumash, right? And then you look up the pasuk and you see he cheated over here. What does the pasuk say? L'sucha l'zbach has a be'achad be'achad sha'arecha. Echad's not going on the person. It's be'achad sha'arecha. So how do you do that? So this is apparently one of the midos shatar in the dreshes ben that this must be one of those that you need a mesora for. This cannot be like a kavachom. Must be more similar to gzera shava that you need a mesora for it. That you're allowed to put a comma in the wrong place. You're allowed to break up the phrases in the wrong place, right? We certainly, you can't say, oh, I have a drasha, lo, tirtzach, right? You can't say that, you know, it's lo tirtzach, you shall not murder. It can't be, no, go and murder. You can't put a period or a comma wherever you want. This must be that he had such a tradition, that's where the comma should be, that it's be'echad, so it tells me that you're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach for a yachid. Rabbi Yossi Omer, yachid v'yachal achlo, shochten alav. If you have one guy and he's able to eat the Karban Pesach, so you shech for him. Asar v'ein yichal achlo, and even if you have 10 people, I don't know why the Mishnah gave an example of 100 people, and over here it gives the example of 10 people, but it's the same story. You could have a lot of people, but if none of them are able to eat a Karban Pesach, then ain't shochtin aleim, then you can't shech for them. But Rabbi Yossi doesn't think the number of people is what matters. Rabbi Yossi, hai be'echad mai avadei. What does Rabbi Yossi do with the word be'echad? Doesn't be'echad seem to support Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to shech for an individual? It's a strange question, because what do you mean mai avadei? He would just read the pasuk the way it says. So, he uses that be'echad for the drasha that Rabbi Shimon makes. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, he makes a drasha that actually takes into account the full phrase. How do I know that if a person decides to shech the Karban Pesach in his backyard on his own personal bama, when bamos are not permissible, that he's in violation of a law of Minatorah? Don't shech the Karban Pesach in one of your gates, wherever you are, in your backyard. So Yachalaf Bishas Heter Bamos. You might think that even when I'm allowed to have a bama in my backyard, that there's going to be such an iser. Tamalomar ba'achad sharecha lo amrel b'shal shakol yisrael nechasim sharechad. That this halacha that it's asur shecht on a bama's yachid is only when there's the availability of a kol yisrael going to sharechad, when we have a mikdash, when we have an iser bamos. But when there's a heter bamos, then there's no lo saseh of shechting karban pesach on a private bama. Rabbi Yehuda haiminale. Where does Rabbi Yehuda, who used be'achad to tell me that you're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach for a yachid, where does he know this din of an iser of shechting Karban Pesach on a bamas yachid? So tati shamina, he would say, I would derive both dinim from that pasuk. One is from be'echad sharecha, and one is from be'echad, period. So he derives both of these dinim. How did Rabbi Yossi know to darshan the pasuk the way Rabbi Shimon darshans it, and not like Rabbi Yehuda darshans it? Maybe the whole pasuk is only there to teach me be'echad, that you're not allowed to shecht it. So how is Rabbi Yossi so confident to reject that drasha in favor of the drasha of Rabbi Shimon that it's telling me about a bamas yachid? Now the pasuk says ish lufi achlo. That tells me that there's a Karban Pesach that's brought for one person, because it's ish, it's one man, lefi achlo, singular. So clearly in the pasuk you see that you're allowed to bring Karban Pesach for one person. So be'echad must mean be'echad sharech, about an isra of a bamas yachid, but not an isra of a Karban Pesach for an individual. Rami le Ravuk Barachina mi parishna le Rava. Ravuk Barachina from Parishna asked the following stira to Rava. Miyam Rabbi Yehuda shechnas Pesach al yachid. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that you're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach for a single individual? Or a minu, I'll ask you a stira. Isha Brishon Shachtan Lebifnei Atzma B'Sheni Yosef Nosa Tfei La'Cherim. A woman on Pesach Rishon, we're about to see on Amud Beis what a woman's chiyuv is in Karm Pesach, and we're going to distinguish between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. But Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that in Pesach Rishon, you could shech to Karm Pesach for a woman all by herself. And it's only Pesach Sheni where she needs to be joined in a group of other people, of men as well. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But bottom line is, you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that for Pesach Rishon, you could check for her all by yourself, that you don't need her to be part of a group. So how can Rabbi Yehuda tell me that you're not allowed to check for a single individual? He's about to tell me you're allowed to check for a single woman. So says Gemara, no, where am I? Divrei Rabbi Amalei, lo tema bifnei atzma, ela ema bifnei atzman. That it's not, the word shouldn't be Bifnei Atzma, that Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to shecht for a woman on her own, it means you're allowed to shecht for a group of women, but it's got to be a group. It's got to be more than one person. You can't shecht for a person by themselves. So a number of women want to get together and have a Karban Pesach, right? A lot of, young ladies this year that are in seminary where the parents can't bring them home for Pesach because they don't know if they'll be able to send them back after Pesach. So they'll get together and they'll have a Seder together and they'll have a Karban Pesach together. So that's what it means, Bifnei Atzma.
Wait a second, can you do a chabura that's made entirely of women? But didn't the Mishnah go on to say that you're not allowed to make a chabura of Nashim Avadim Ketanim? My love, Nashim L'chudayu, V'Avadim L'chudayu, U'Ketanim L'chudayu. Doesn't that mean that you can't have a group of only women, and you can't have a group of only Avadim, and you can't have a group of only Ketanim? Amalei, lo, that's not what it means. Nashim Avadim Ketanim, it means you're not allowed to have a group of Nashim Avadim and Ketanim all together in a single group. Nashim avadim mishum tiflus, ketanim avadim mishum pritzusa. Nashim cannot be together with avadim because of a concern of them violating averos together. It's a form of what we would call pritzus. And avadim with ketanim, these avadim were not high class members of society. We have to be concerned that they're going to be pedophiles together. You know that they'll have access to these ketanim. We don't want them to be together with the ketanim. But if you have a group of women that are just a group of women, that would be perfectly acceptable. So again, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, you're not allowed to shecht the Karban Pesach for a single individual, male or female, but a group, whether it be a group of men or a group of women, is perfectly acceptable. So once we're discussing women's role in Karban Pesach, the Gemara is going to bring three shitos in Tanayim about whether a woman is chayiv or reshus or totally mufka from Karban Pesach. Those are the three possibilities. Either they're obligated, they're permitted, or they're excluded from. So says the Gemara, Gufa. Isha Barisha is Shita number one. Isha Barishon Shochtan Aleh Bifnei Atzma, Ubishen Yosin Osa Tfei Lachem Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, on Pesach Rishon, she's Chayiv, and therefore you could shecht just for a group of women. Pesach Sheni, it's Rishus. So you can't shecht for a group that's exclusively made up of women for Pesach Sheni, but they can be part of a larger group that includes men as well. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. As long as those men aren't Avadim, right? Because we just learned that would be Chashash of Tiflus. But, family members, their husbands or whatever, so you could have a group of men and women together for Pesach Sheni. That's Shita number one. Shita number two, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Isha B'Sheni Shochtan Aleh Bifnei Atzma, Vein Tzarech Lomar B'Rishon. Now even Pesach Sheni you could do for a group of exclusively women, and therefore Kal V'Chomer for Pesach Rishon also. So meaning women are Chayiv in both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Shimon Omer, a third Shita, Isha B'Rishon also Nosa Tfeila La'Acherim, B'Sheni Ein Shochtan Aleh Kol Iker. That Pesach Rishon, they're only Rishus, so you can include them on a Karban Pesach together with men, but in Pesach Sheni, they're Mufka, they're excluded from Pesach Sheni, so you cannot include them in Pesach Sheni at all. So obviously, if they have such Shitas, it must be based on something, meaning there must be indications in the Pasuk for each Shita. So B'mai Kamifugi, so the Gemara elaborates. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about how to read the Pesukim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda darshins the Pesukim as follows. Again, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that women are Chayiv in Pesach Rishon and Rishus in Pesach Sheni. So b'mechsas nefashos is a generic term that refers to any Jew. So that's Rafilu Nashim. Women are obviously included in nefashos. So you see that women are chayiv in Pesach Rishon. V'chitema yachi afilu b'sheni nami. Oh, so you'll say then the same thing should be true of Pesach Sheni. Ksiv chet o yisa ha'ish hahu. Ish is not a generic term. Ish is a very specific term. So ish means man and not woman. Ish in ishalo. V'chitema
Well, if we say the word ish when it comes to Pesach Sheni, shouldn't that exclude women entirely from Pesach Sheni? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that they're a reshus and they can participate as long as there are men in the group? Because ahani kechol chukas haPesach l'tfeila bi'alma. Because the pasuk when it talks about Pesach Sheni says, you want to know how to do Pesach Sheni? Do it just like Pesach Rishon. What do you mean do it just like Pesach Rishon? You just told me that women are chayiv in Pesach Rishon and that they don't do Pesach Sheni. So how could Pesach Sheni be just like Pesach Rishon? Women are a reshus in Pesach Sheni, so we meet in the middle as far as Pesach Sheni is concerned. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The second Shita was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said women are chayiv in both Rishon and Sheni. Rabbi Yossi, my time, where does he get his Shita from? Tichsiv b'Rishon b'mechsas nefashos v'afilu isha. By Pesach Rishon it says nefashos. That implies any Jew, including a woman. Uksiv Pesach Sheni v'nichrusa ha-nefesh ha-himi Yisrael. Again, nefesh. That implies nefesh v'afilu nashim, even women. So women are chayiv in both Rishon and Sheni. Ve'ela cheto yisa ha-ish ha-hu l'mute mai. So what do you do with the word ha'ish? Lemute katan mikares. That's to exclude a katan from being chayiv kares. But that is not to exclude women at all. Tosfos raises the question. I need a pasuk to tell me katan's not chayiv kares. A katan is pater from all mitzvahs in the Torah. So Tosfos says the pasuk is being mema'et if he becomes a gadol between hakravas Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, where you might have thought he's chayiv kares because now he's a gadol. So the pasuk is telling me no. If he wasn't chayiv in Pesach Rishon, he's not going to be chayiv kares for failure to bring Pesach Sheni. V'Rabbi Shimon, then the third Shita who said that women in women are not chayiv at all in Karm Pesach. Pesach Rishon, they could be included with men. Pesach Sheni, they're mufka from. So Ksiv Barishon ish, ish in ishalo. By Pesach Rishon, it says ish to exclude women. So that should exclude them entirely. Why do we allow them to even be included with men? Because the word nefashos implies women are included, so they're somewhat included. They're included in the sense that they're allowed to participate, but they have no chiyuv to participate. V'chitema afilu b'sheni nami miyet rachmana b'sheni d'chsiv cheto yisa ha'ish. Ish in, ishalo. So you're going to say, maybe the same should be true by Pesach Sheni? No, that's why by Pesach Sheni it says ish again, to exclude women entirely from Pesach Sheni. What are we being m'mayit women in Pesach Sheni from? Im chiyuv, if we're just being m'mayit them from a chiyuv, hashtab rishon lo b'sheni mibayi, they're not even chayiv in Pesach Rishon. Of course they're not chayiv in Pesach Sheni. Elav mitfela must be saying that even what they can do in Pesach Rishon, they can't do in Pesach Sheni. So they're allowed to participate together with men in Pesach Rishon. They can't even do that in Pesach Sheni. Umay ish to come Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon apparently found an extra word ish to be able to to be more exclusive and to exclude women from more. Which ish is he referring to? Inem v'yichulam ish selebeis avos. If it's the ish in that pasuk, homi by lech Rabbi Yitzchak, we already need that ish for Rabbi Yitzchak Torah. The Amar ish. To tell me that an ish can acquire something for somebody else, an adult can acquire something for somebody else, but a child cannot acquire for somebody else. I mean, there is a halacha called Zachan Adam Shlo B'fanav. If I see something that you've been telling me all along that you'd really love to have this beautiful sefer, I just happen to have my sefer on, but you've been telling me that you'd love to have this beautiful sefer, and I don't need this sefer. I don't think that Leibowitz has anything good to say, but I see it lying there on the street and it's hefker, so I could be kona it for you. I'm making a kinyan and it's yours the second I make the kinyan, but that's only if I'm an adult. A child cannot be kona for somebody else. Tosfos raises the question, of course a child can't be kona for somebody else. A child can't be kona even for himself. A child doesn't make kinyanim. After all, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that if a child finds a metzia, so it's only mipnei darkei shalom that we let him keep it. Really, on a daraisa level, it's not a kinyan bichlal. So Tosfos says an important yesod. Tosfos says, no, that's only when there's no das acheres makne. If the child is picking something up that's hefker, he cannot make a kinyan on a daraisa level. But if someone is being makne to him, then he's able to make a kinyan for himself. So, but the limitation is for himself. He's not allowed to make a kinyan on behalf of somebody else. Why not? And that's, by the way, that's the problem of lulav biyom rishon. Right? If you have a lulav, that's why you're supposed to take it for yourself before you give it to the child. Because if you give it to the child, you're a das acheres makne. So he's going to be able to be koneid. It will be his, but he lacks the ability to be makneid back to you. And therefore, it won't be lachem on Yom Rishon. That's why you're supposed to take lulav before you give it to the child on Yom Rishon. But Tos says, and you see from here also, Now, why is it that the child can't be koneh for somebody else? Because zach l'adam shelo b'fanav is based on shlichus. Zachi is mitam shlichus. And a child can't be a shaliach. Tells us, the Rishonim point out, this might be the source that a child can't be a shaliach. Because why do I need a pasuk to tell me that he can't do zachiyah if, of course, zachi is mitam shlichus and he can't do shlichus? It must be that we learn it from here, that zachi is mitam shlichus and that a child cannot become a shaliach. Anyway, so that's what I use the word ish. So where did Rabbi Shimon find an extra ish lying around in the Torah? Ve'ela me ish lufi achlo, must be based on the pasuk of ish lufi achlo. Hamid Rabbi Yossi savla Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon nami savla Rabbi Yossi. But wait, shouldn't Rabbi Shimon hold of Rabbi Yossi's drasha v'umi ba'ilei d'shoknas pesach ala yachid? And Rabbi Yossi uses ish lufi achlo. We already had an amad aleph to teach me, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to shech the carbon for a single individual. Am lecha imkei nichtav rachmana lufi achlo. My ish, it could have just said lufi achlo and not lufi achlam. And I already know you're talking about one person. Why does it have to say ish also? Sham minat tarti. Must be coming to exclude women as well. So, Kamal Azadam Rabbi Lazar, Yishab Rishon Chava B'Sheni Rishos. Whose shita is Rabbi Lazar following when he says that a woman is chayv in Pesach Rishon and a Rishos in Pesach Sheni? Vidoches HaShabbos. And by the way, her carbon is Doches HaShabbos. So, before we get to who he's following, that sentence doesn't make any sense. I Rishos, am I Doches HaShabbos? If she's only Rishos in Pesach Sheni, why is her carbon Doches HaShabbos? Ela Eima, we have to switch it around. What we really mean to say is B'Sheni Rishos. Uberishon chava v'doches haShabbos. That on Pesach Rishon she has a chiyuv, and therefore if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos like it does this year, you can check the woman's carbon Pesach on Shabbos also. So keman, but who's he following when he says women are chayiv in Pesach Rishon and only Rishos in Pesach Sheni? Kerabi Yehuda. That was the first of the three shitos in Tanaim that we had on the top of the page. Am Rabbi Yaakov, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Enos and Chabura shekula gerim shemi yedak tekubo v'yavilu de psul. Fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says you don't want a Chabura of only gerim because gerim are going to be so medactic in mitzvos that they're going to find a problem with it and they're going to passel the carbon pesach. It's never going to be kosher enough for the gerim. The gerim are going to find a problem with it. So you want to have some native Jews who are a little more easygoing about the religion so that you won't be maybe l'day psul. It's fascinating because Tosla says, I don't know. He says, I think it may be the opposite. The Yerushalmi has the opposite. That you know why you can't make a chabura shel gerim? Shemitok shein mekul kolim ain medactic in v'yavi l'day psul. They're not going to be careful enough. They're not going to know the rules. And they're going to passel the carbon. This tension of whether gerim are more metaktik or less metaktik, you find this all over the place. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, Akashim gerim li Yisrael kisapachas. So what does it mean? That gerim are so bad for the Jewish people? So Tosus says on the spot, some say because they're not metaktik in mitzvos, so they bring more averus into the Jewish people. And others say that they're so metaktik in mitzvos, they make us look bad. So which is the truth? Are gerim not? So obviously, they're both true. That not only are they both true in the sense that there are some gerim that are very metaktik, some gerim that are obviously not as careful, but even within a single person, gerim very often, at least in my experience in gerus, are very often extremely serious, and whatever they know, they take very, very seriously. But we don't realize how immersive an experience being a Jew is. It's very hard to know everything. So there are certain things that just by nature, they're not going to, you don't realize how much there is to pick up on. If you're not native to it, if you didn't grow up with it, there's a lot to learn. So there are certain areas where they're not going to be naturally not going to be medactic. That's why by Geirus, one of the things we look for more than anything else is total immersion in the Jewish community. If a Ger had the opportunity, if a Ger was learning on their own in a closet somewhere without any interaction, but they know everything and they're brilliant, we would not be Megayer, at least in our base, and we would not be Megayer such a person. A person has to be connected to a community, to a rabbi, to a son, to people, to a Shabbos. That's why COVID has been so difficult for Geirim. I mean, you don't even realize this, but when shuls are closed and when people's homes are closed, how does a ger have an immersive experience? It's been extremely, extremely challenging. But that's the only way to actually pick up all the details of Judaism. Anyway, let's go a little bit further. I know I'm over time over here. Tan Rabban, Pesach Matzah Mar Barishon Chava Mikan Ve'Elech Rishos. Pesach Matzah Mar is a chiyuv on the first day of Yantiv. Over here, Rishon doesn't mean Pesach Rishon. It means the first day of Yantiv. And days 2 through 7 of Yantiv, it's only Rishos. Rabbi Shimon Amar Ba'anashim Chava B'nashim Rishos. It's a chiyuv for men and a Rishos for women. Say, hey, Akai, which one are you talking about? Pesach, matzah, or maror? Ilei ma'a Pesach. If you're talking about carbon Pesach, Pesach kol shiva mi'ika? There's a reshus of carbon Pesach for days 2 through 7? Carbon Pesach is one night, and that's it. There's no Pesach on days, carbon Pesach on days 2 through 7. Ve'ela a matzah or maror. We must be talking about matzah or maror. That's what we're saying. That the first night you have a chiyuv, after that is only a reshus. Eima sefer, Rabbi Shimon omer ba anashim chavo benashim reshus. But then Rabbi Shimon says that only men are chayiv and women are not chayiv. It's only a reshus. Well, that's later Rabbi Shimon, Hadam Reb Lazar, Nashim Chayavus Bachilus Matzah Dvar Torah. Doesn't he remember Daf Mem Gimel when we discussed how women are chayiv in matzah on a Daoraisa level? Shenemar lo socha lav chametz shivas yom tocha lav matzos. The Torah makes a hekish between the Yisra of Achilas Chametz and the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah to teach me that kol sheyashem bal tochel chametz yashem kumel chametzah. That anyone who has the Yisra of Achilas Chametz has the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. Vahani nashim hol v'yashem bal tochel chametz yashem kumel chametzah. Women are chayiv in every losa say in the Torah, including Yisra of Achilas Chametz, and therefore are chayiv in Achilas Matzah as well. So what do you mean that women are only a reshus in matzah? Ela ema pesach matzah umar berishon chova mikan ve'eluch reshus. Rabbi Shimon Omar pesach ba anashim chova benashim reshus. That only carbon pesach is a chiyuv for men and a reshus for women. When it comes to matzah, that's where we say matzah is a chiyuv on the first night and reshus for the rest of pesach. This obviously is a major maramakom in the discussion that poskim have, that rishonim and achronim have, whether there's a mitzvah kiyumis to eat matzah after the Seder night. We know you have a chiyuv to eat a kesayis matzah on the Seder night. Is there a kiyum mitzvah on any level to eat matzah throughout the rest? So the Gemara seems explicit over here. Rishos. It's only a rishos after the Seder night. So that's a discussion. Sometimes when the Gemara says rishos, it means in comparison to, meaning when you're comparing it to the chiyuv that you have of the first day, so it's a reshus klape that. For example, the Gemara tells us in Brachos Tfilas Arvis Reshus that it's only reshus dav marv. Says Tosos Brachos dav chavav Tfilas Arvis Reshus as opposed to Shachris and Mincha, but it's still chiyuv. Meaning you can't just not daven marv. It's still a chiyuv. It's just less of a chiyuv than Shachris and Mincha. So that's the tension over here also. When we say it's only reshus to eat matzah the rest of the days, does that mean that it's only reshus or that it's a mitzvah, but it's not a chiyuv, and because it's not a chiyuv, it's less of a mitzvah than the first night? Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Aleph and Beis. Thank you so much again for agreeing to come learn tonight. Gutavach, everyone.
Thank you.